Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we're going to be going through my Q1 earnings preview for Tesla's earnings report, which should be tomorrow after market close. Tomorrow, obviously, we'll do the live stream as earnings are coming out, and then another live stream for the earnings call. And today we're going to go through the numbers. I actually think Tesla's setting up here for a pretty big beat, so I want to go through those. But before we do that, just want to take a quick look at what's going on in the market. So Tesla today, you know, kind of tracking the macro environment, up 2.4%, closing at $1,028. Whereas the NASDAQ was up 2.2%. So pretty strong day for the NASDAQ. What's most interesting though is after hours today, Netflix reported earnings. They actually reported that their subscriber numbers have fallen and they guided for their subscriber numbers to keep falling, which obviously not what you want to hear as a sort of a growth company though. Netflix is kind of moving out of that stage in terms of their valuation over the last two quarters. So they reported today they're down 26% after hours after guiding for that subscription subscriber drop. And that's kind of pulling down the general market, the tech market, Tesla down about 1%. So it'll be interesting to see if that kind of carries through to tomorrow, but not really the greatest start there to, you know, tech earnings season, if we want to call it that. Obviously, there's not much correlation there, but between, you know, Netflix subscribers and Tesla's outlook, but As we've talked about, things kind of tend to trade in buckets and they kind of get lumped together. So the other comment that I want to make on this is what people imagine, like people that are betting against Tesla, imagine Tesla's future to be, that they're just going to report earnings one of these times and, you know, they're going to drop 25% one quarter and drop 25% the next quarter. This is the scenario that they see happening. And that's why people continue to argue against Tesla. Because, I mean, it can happen, right? Like high growth stocks, if they stop growing, the valuation can crash pretty significantly, very quickly, like what we've seen happen with Netflix here. So that's what people think is going to happen to Tesla. Obviously, I don't agree with that, but that's sort of the, you know, the logic behind some of the bearish cases. All right, so with that out of the way, let's take a look into my earnings expectations here. A couple things I just want to mention before we even get into that. I'll flip over to Excel here in a second. But first thing, so oftentimes people ask, like, why do we even do this a day before earnings when we get the numbers? The point here is to understand the context of the numbers that we do get. And going through the forecasting process, whether that's me going through the details here or you guys listening to my forecast, the reason we do that is to have better understand the business, right? Like, I learn a ton as I go through these forecasts, and hopefully you guys learn a lot as we go through my forecast too. And it helps us better understand the results when we get them. So that's the point of doing it, even though obviously we'll just get the real numbers tomorrow. The other thing is, these are just my best guesses, right? Like every time we have earnings, in this case, I'm expecting a beat. If Tesla doesn't live up to that expectation, like that's totally okay. I might not be super happy with it because I would have expected higher, but that doesn't mean the numbers aren't bad. It's just like when the delivery report came out and I had that whole conversation about that. So just something to keep that in mind as we talk about the numbers here. All right, so without further ado, let's hop into the numbers. Let me flip over to Excel. And if you are an audio listener, obviously spreadsheet heavy, so I'll put the YouTube link in the description for that today. All right, so here is our spreadsheet. As you can see, the trailing 12 months, so the last four quarters of actuals on the left here, we'll go through my forecast. And then on the right, we've got analyst consensus. And these, I have both the average and the median. Tesla shares both of those. So just kind of a one thing I wanted to point out here is that the median numbers are a little bit higher. I think there have been analysts that just have not updated their estimates for a while. And I kind of left that deliveries average in there because you can see that very clearly. It's at 307,000. We already know Tesla reported about 310,000. So it just shows that some of these average numbers are actually a little bit low. And therefore, the actual expectations are probably a little bit higher than this. We'll go through, you know, what those are in a second. But just to jump down to the bottom line for expectations, current non-GAAP earnings per share consensus from analysts is $2.30 per share. I've seen up to 250-ish from analysts so far. So, and I think this has risen just a little bit in the last few days. But as I said, this is a company compiled estimate. Most of the other consensus that I've seen compiled have been in this ballpark. So with that out of the way, let's get into my forecast. So just top line here, obviously deliveries, we kind of know those. Tesla usually reports a few extra deliveries from what they reported with the production and delivery report at the end of the quarter. So just right above 310,000 there. I'll just unhide all the revenue numbers. So this is kind of where the beat for me starts off at the very top, with my total revenue expectation coming in about $300 million higher than analyst consensus. So I'm at about $18.5 million. and analysts are at about 18.1 billion and 18.2 billion for the median. So I'm a little bit higher there, about 2% higher than expectations. Largely that's being driven by expectations for automotive sales, which means generally that's coming from average selling price increases. So you can see here, I've got kind of a, as usual, just a little description of what's influencing average selling prices this quarter. And you see a lot of up arrows here, right? So we should see price increases, particularly in the US, but a little bit internationally too, continue to hit. There's a lag time in that. So the price increases we saw throughout 2021, those are going to start coming in this quarter, which that had an effect in Q4, but we should see a continued stronger effect from that in Q1 as well. And then actually throughout the rest of the year as well. The next thing, prioritization of higher trims. Let me zoom in this. I know it's probably a little bit small here. Ooh. Okay. Messed it up for a second. Okay, so prioritization of higher trims. So we really saw Tesla start doing this in the first quarter. And I think that's going to have a pretty big impact because, you know, they're shifting from delivering lower price vehicles to delivering higher price vehicles that have either more options or prioritization of long ranges versus standard range vehicles. That could actually have a pretty big impact that I think is one of the reasons that I'm a little bit higher than what analysts are expecting, maybe not forecasting for that. The other thing, so China, as we know from the production numbers, that mix should shift more towards Model Y from Model 3. I don't have the numbers up in front of me right now, but it was closer to 50-50 in Q4, and now it's more like 60-40. So that should help a little bit with average selling prices for China. And then kind of the same factor for Model S and X. Really, Tesla started delivering X in Q4, but not a lot. So that mix should be higher for Q1. So bottom line on average selling prices, excluding regulatory credits, excluding leasing, my average selling price is up about $1,500 quarter over quarter. So that's a pretty significant jump from in Q4, so last quarter, we saw average selling prices increase by, I want to say, like $700 or $800. So I'm expecting that to continue, but in an even more significant way, anticipating more of those pricing increases hitting the mix and then some of these other factors. So that's what I have going on for average selling price. That's really what's causing me to beat on the top line. Let me zoom out there a little bit. So the other two things there would just be energy sales and service. I'm actually pretty close to consensus on that. I have that slightly down quarter over quarter. I think solar is going to be down. I can scroll down here a bit. I'm at 78 megawatts deployed for energy generation, which will be down about 10% quarter over quarter. And then I have energy storage basically the same. So just projecting a small decline for energy sales. It's really, really difficult to forecast that. The reason I'm saying that solar would be declining would be because we had a couple of reports that Tesla was having some supply issues on that. All right, so getting into profitability then, we'll just unhide both of these sections here. All right, so total gross profit, I am at $5.1 billion. That's up about $300 million from Q4, up 131% year over year. Tesla last Q1 did about $2.2 billion in gross profit. Analyst consensus right now is $4.7 billion. The median is a little bit higher at 4.8. But still, I'm about 9% above on gross profit versus just about 2% above consensus on revenue. So as we can see here, I think you guys always know one of the first things I look at with the earnings reports is automotive gross margin X credits. So you can see analyst consensus at 27.7%. I'm at 29.6%. So I'm actually 190 basis points higher. So that's where we kind of get into the cost of goods sold. And there should be a few factors affecting things here. So most of these, like average selling prices, are showing increases. One thing that would be decreasing the average cost of goods sold per vehicle would be slight daily production rate increases. We talked more about that during the delivery report, but there were a couple fewer days. There was more downtime in Q1 versus Q4. So when Tesla was producing, they were actually more efficient at that production. And that's what allowed them to get to, you know, a slight delivery growth quarter over quarter, even with fewer days. So that should improve things. That's offset a little bit by this last point here that there should be some start and stop inefficiencies because not all this downtime was planned. The Chinese New Year, that would have been planned. The stuff in March related to COVID would have been unplanned. So probably some inefficiencies with that. Then of course, you've got materials sourcing costs. Those seem to continue to rise. It's tough to know exactly how heavily that's going to hit Tesla because of how their contracts are structured. We're not privy to that information, obviously. And then mix shifts. So As that does benefit average selling price, it's also going to increase average cost of goods sold. If you swap out a standard range for a long range vehicle, obviously that's going to raise your average cost of goods sold as well. So bottom line on that, I have the average cost of goods sold increasing by $900, but again, average selling price increasing by $600, so gross profitability increasing per vehicle, and that's leaving my automotive gross margin up 40 basis points quarter over quarter. The one thing that I didn't mention in here is, and this is a huge wild card, is Giga Berlin, right? So Giga Berlin starting deliveries this quarter, that means that cost of goods sold, since they started selling vehicles, also hits this quarter. Tesla, you know, I'm forecasting this based on what Tesla showed in their financials when they were ramping up Giga Shanghai and when they were ramping up Model Y from Fremont. Neither of those actually had all that big of an impact on Tesla's financials. So they seem to be pretty well able at this point to manage that, but it is a big wild card. I think I'm showing like a $40, $50 million hit from that. So it is a factor that's, you know, very unknown, but I'm hoping, based on what I've seen in Tesla's past financials, that it's not all that significant. I do think that's probably one of the factors causing the significant discrepancy here. For energy, so I am expecting Tesla to still continue to lose money on energy this quarter just because of like some of the issues with the supply for solar that I mentioned. We'll see. You know, it's been kind of up and down, so nothing would surprise me on that line, to be honest. It's not going to be a huge factor that might sway total gross profit by a percent or two, but relatively small impact compared to average selling prices and cost of goods sold for automotive. Services and others, I think Tesla's going to continue to increase their margin there. Last quarter was the first quarter in, I think, forever that we saw that turn positive, which is good. It just means Tesla's not actually losing money on those things, and that does include used car sales, and I think that's probably been a big factor in driving this line. So I expect that to continue, both on the revenue increasing and on the gross margin. So those two basically wash out and leaves me with that $5.1 billion for gross profit. All right, so we've got our top line, we've got sort of the middle line there of profitability. Now we're going into operating expenses. That'll take us all the way down to the bottom line. And this is the area that I probably feel is most misforecast in terms of the consensus. And a couple reasons for that over here that we'll go through. So let me show these numbers here. So R&D, it's relatively steady in terms of how it comes in. Last quarter we did see a jump. I'm basically just forecasting Tesla to kind of stick at that level. Consensus doesn't break that out. SG&A, I am much lower here on SG&A, and this is one of the most critical lines for us to understand this quarter in particular, because there were factors inflating SG&A last quarter. So SG&A, selling, general, and administrative costs, which is the largest portion of operating expenses. So last quarter it was $1.5 billion. That was up from Q3 of $1 billion. I'm forecasting it to drop back down to $1 billion, which generally you don't see SG&A drop as revenue grows. It's not something that's super common. But there's a couple of one-time factors that drove Q4 SG&A expenses up. So if you recall, we had a $340 million CEO payroll tax in Q4 that hit SG&A. The reason for that was because Elon exercised those options, so Tesla paid payroll tax on that. So that's $340 million. That's not going to comp. It's not going to repeat in Q1. So you can just immediately cancel that out. The other factor here that also hits SG&A through stock-based compensation is Elon Musk's compensation plan. So Tesla over the last 18 months has been recognizing a lot of that plan. It's almost fully recognized now. There's only $65 million left in total. Versus last quarter, you can see that they recognized almost $250 million. So that also can't comp. My forecast here is for $49 million of that $65 million remaining. So basically I have that dropping by about $200 million from Q4. So put those together, that's a half a billion dollar drop, a $500 million drop, which is basically accounting for my entire drop there in SG&A. Excluding those things, I actually have small increases. So I have stock-based compensation excluding the CEO expense up slightly, about 1%. It's actually a little bit high in Q4, so I'm not expecting any huge increase there. And then excluding stock-based compensation and the CEO payroll tax, I have the rest of SG&A, so Tesla's just normal SG&A costs, I have those increasing by 7% quarter over quarter. That's a little bit higher than would be normal, but because Tesla's opening up Giga Berlin, I'm expecting a little bit more in costs on that line. So I think that's, you know, when we look at what's going on here in terms of my differences. It's, you know, a little bit on the top line, but then significantly on the expense line, because I am at $1.7 billion of operating expense. Analyst consensus is about $2.1 billion. So about a $350 million difference between the numbers there. That's pretty significant. The other thing to just keep in mind as we look at the year-over-year numbers, Q1 last year, that's when Tesla recognized the Bitcoin gain. So they had sold some. They basically said that they were testing out the liquidity, and that caused them to recognize a gain. So in this, it's shown as a negative just because it was a negative expense. But that was a $100 million positive impact last year that reduced their operating expenses. Okay, so all that being said, operating income, I'm at $3.3 billion versus analyst consensus at 2.6. And again, about half of that coming from just lower operating expenses, which I'm pretty confident in. And then the other half, which obviously it's what I think is going to happen, but less confident in the average selling prices. Basically, those two things making up the difference. So getting to the bottom line then, that basically takes us all the way there. EBITDA, I'm at $4.7 billion. So that's up about $600 million from Q4, based on what we just talked about there, the increases in average selling prices, reduction in operating expenses, that flows through to EBITDA, which is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. Non-GAAP net income, I'm at $3.3 billion, up about $400 million quarter over quarter. Stock-based compensation, you can see that that is quite a bit lower, and you can see the difference in my $364 million forecast versus consensus of about $511 million. And then GAAP net income and earnings per share. This is the big one. And before I even display these, just like I say every quarter, this is what people like to compare analysts on. And it's really not very good to compare people on because there's always these factors. Like last quarter, someone that guessed 254 but didn't forecast for $340 million of CEO payroll tax, they basically just got lucky, which is fine. But and I'm not saying anyone in particular, I'm just saying as a general statement that there's a lot more to earnings than just the bottom line. That being said, my bottom line number here is for Tesla to show non-GAAP earnings per share of $2.85 versus the consensus of $2.30. And then on a GAAP basis, I am at $2.53 versus GAAP from the consensus of $1.85. But again, if you look at the median, those are slightly higher at $2.33 and $1.96 respectively. So I think the true expectations are probably a little bit higher than that, maybe $2.35 to $2.40. So I'm still showing a significant beat on that. But again, any number of factors here could drive that down. Tesla could have a greater hit from logistics. They could have greater hit from materials that I'm forecasting. Giga Berlin could be a bigger hit. Their average selling prices could see less benefit from mix shift. A lot of those things we just can't know, right? It's just our best guess. So I think it's just worth understanding those factors. That being said, if earnings do come in around this, which would be obviously a huge beat, and I would be very happy with those numbers, that would mean that Tesla over the last 12 months, instead of having earned right now $4.89 on a GAAP basis, we drop out the 39 cents that they earned last year in Q1, we replace that with 253, and GAAP earnings per share goes up to $7.04. So you can see that over here. If these numbers are accurate, that would drop the price to earnings at the share price today of $1,028 to 146x from, I think right now it's, you know, slightly above 200. So we'd see another significant drop in the earnings multiple. And based on this $2.53, if Tesla is able to continue earning that from this point forward, which should be pretty much a given, Q2 being the exception because of shutdowns, we'll see what that comes in at. But presumably Tesla's kind of at this level. If you annualize that going forward, their forward PE based on that would just be about 100 times earnings. And obviously Tesla should be able to continue to grow earnings from here. So it doesn't take much to drop them to, you know, 75 times forward earnings, 50 times forward earnings. And that is happening quickly as we see every quarter. So the bottom line there on net income, multiple compression continues. All right, so those are kind of the main factors here. Like I said, biggest difference for me, higher average selling price, lower operating expenses, super confident in the operating expenses, average selling price, that's what I think is going to happen, but less certainty on that one. And that's basically, both of those are basically half and half responsible for my higher forecast here. All right, the other factors to consider for the call, obviously it's not just about the report. We'll see what happens on the call, but just a couple of things to keep in mind. So the first bullet I have here, will Elon be on the call? So Elon said back in Q3 that he wasn't going to be, maybe it was Q2, that he wasn't going to be on the calls anymore. He skipped the Q3 call. Wall Street seemed to react very positively because they, I think Zach speaks their language a little bit better. And then Elon hopped back on the Q4 call, and that was a little bit less well received. So it's a big question. Will Elon be on this call? Personally, I don't mind having Elon on the call, but it is interesting to see just sort of the discrepancy in how the calls go with when he's there or not. Personally, I don't expect him to be on it. He hasn't really mentioned anything. And I think Q4, he was on it to do the product roadmap update. And it's also the year-end call. So that's kind of what I anticipate from Elon going forward, probably the annual shareholder meeting and the Q4 call. But we'll see tomorrow. The other main factors here, I think, just updates on 4680, Texas, Berlin, ramps. Like, these numbers are important because they give us insight into how well Tesla's able to manage their costs, how well ASPs, average selling prices, are growing. But really what's important for the rest of the year that outweighs those factors is how well are these ramps going to go? What the volume is going to look like later this year. That's going to be much more influential on, you know, those forward price to earnings ratios that we're talking about. So that'll be a big question, I'm sure. A few questions will be asked about that. And then updates on Shanghai. So obviously the factory's been closed. We've got reports that it's restarting. So I think that should quell some of those questions. They'll probably still be present though. Any context they give us on that will be helpful. And then just supply chain, right? Like, we've heard Tesla for a year now talk about how supply chain is challenging. I would expect them to continue to talk about that. If something changed though, and they say, hey, the supply chain's actually improving, or we're not having supply issues anymore, that would be a huge win in terms of just the projections going forward. So I don't expect that, but it is something to consider. Okay, so I think that is most of what I wanted to say on this. I'll just look in the chat here for a little bit in case anybody does have any questions or if anything here wasn't clear. But again, I just want to reiterate what I said at the start. Like, obviously my expectations here are quite high. People like to say that I'm either conservative or I'm too aggressive based on being a Tesla bull or whatever, based on how things come in each quarter. There have been quarters where I'm under, there have been quarters where I'm over. I really just try to give my best guess based on the situation. I'm not trying to, you know, I don't make my forecast based on expectations or how I want expectations to be or anything like that. It's really just my best guess. So yeah, just keep that in mind. If Tesla beats, you know, if Tesla comes in around 230, I would definitely be a little bit disappointed. Again, it depends on the reason. If they come in around, you know, 250 or above that, I think everyone will be pretty happy with that. So 285, obviously it's my forecast, but in this case, if Tesla hits it, I would be, you know, very, very happy with that result. All right, let's see. Oh yeah, somebody mentioned they saw the Dan O'Dowd anti full self-driving commercial that has a clip from one of my FSD videos. It's got clips from like galleys as well. What a mess. Not in terms of the clips, just in terms of that being used as an anti-FSD commercial, just like so ridiculous. Yeah, I definitely didn't grant any permission for that. I'm sure he's vetted that from a legal perspective. I doubt there's anything I can do on that, but somebody here asked, what will guidance be? So I would just, you know, expect, as Tesla has said over the last few quarters, that they're just going to stick to that long-term guidance of, you know, over a multi-year time horizon, we expect earnings to continue, or basically delivery growth to continue at greater than 50% or somewhere around 50%. I don't think they'll talk about next quarter specifically. I don't think they'll update that guidance. So yes, most companies give guidance, and yes, that is often the most influential factor in where the stock trades after earnings. But in Tesla's case, it's just not how they operate, which I actually strongly prefer. Okay. Let's see. This is always the worst part of the live streams, I think, just trying to see if there are any questions as I read through these. I mean, yeah, so people are saying, like, hit him with a copyright claim. If they're, like, if anyone's a lawyer that wants to, like, help with that or give me advice on that, I don't know, and I'm not going to pursue it because I'm assuming he's got rights. But if anyone is actually a lawyer and feels that that is not something that's covered in terms of legal use, then yeah, let me know. Free cash flow prediction. So I generally don't do this because I don't really know what Tesla's going to spend on CapEx. If I were to give a best guess, I would say probably above 2 billion, and that's just basically taking sort of what analyst expectations are and adding on, the earnings that I think are going to happen. So I'd say probably 2 billion or somewhere above that. Actually, it looks like I missed adding the Q4 actuals, so I'd have to check on that too. All right. I think that should do it for today then. So again, tomorrow the schedule will be sometime around market close. I'll do a live stream. We can digest the earnings results and shareholder letter together, and then I think the earnings call is at 4:30 Central Time, so I'll have a live stream set up for that. Same structure as usual, just kind of there taking notes alongside the call, and then we'll be available for sort of a recap after that. So looking forward to it. Earnings day, always a fun day. We get a lot of new information, so should be a good time. But as always, thank you guys for listening. Always appreciate it. Make sure you are subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast.